podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL. Okay, welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
It's Walsh.
How are we doing?
I'm back.
Off the
injured list.
Flag's been removed. FPL
two
status.
Teeth pulled last week. 6 days post pullings.
Post-op?
Yeah. I'm still not like full range of motion in my mouth. I still can't really smile fully, but we'll get it done here tonight.
I hope I don't like put you in pain if I happen to say something really funny.
Yeah, I'll just keep chugging these beers and I won't feel my mouth soon enough.
Yeah, there you go. So, pod tonight for Game Week 21.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Hey, Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes. And then, so we have a Thursday Patreon pod, a Friday live stream, and then we have fucking another million days until the next pod because Game Week 21 lasts 9 days. Ten days.
It's got to.
I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but they're trying something.
It's great.
How'd you do this week?
Should we
start with you? Because my wild card
Do we need to talk about it? Yeah. Yeah, I got 77. Didn't Captain Mo. Famous last words. Yeah. You know, everything else was fine, I suppose.
Yeah.
The Raya Dubravka thing is just tilting me over the edge. I mean, I had a new quest unlocked where I had back-to-back goalkeepers on my bench saving a pen.
Oh my God.
So,
oh yeah,
that was
last
good.
Week, Raya on your bench. Yeah. Jesus.
So I'm just
hemorrhaging
points to the field by continuing to exclaim that Raya is the best goalkeeper in the league in FPL. And meanwhile, he just gets no points every week. So
rotating keepers has to be one of the most fraudulent things in the history of FPL.
Because that's why it just feels so good not having a bench keeper, because you can never get it wrong.
Yep. Or not having a good option to start over Cole Palmer, like in my case.
Well, that's something else. But yeah, I mean, Dubravka. I mean, look, let's not.
Dubravka.
Okay.
To a T.
Relax. Let's not get this twisted. If he doesn't save a pen, he got 2 points. So, calling saving a pen is not really calling much of anything. No. Like, they got battered. He could have conceded 20 goals.
The point is, the whole point that I made to Nate was that these games where I don't expect a clean in any of them are when keepers get hauls. And
this is a fraudulent haul, though, because he saved
it's a fundamental flaw in the design of the game where this one position keeper that sucks and is the worst position anyway gets hauls against in the worst matchups.
I mean,
he was, and he got like every type of point and every type of.
Are you talking about Dubravka or Mo?
Dubrav. He got every type of point and every type of subtraction of points, all in one game.
Yeah, he was busy. He was
everything
busy.
Except an own goal.
Yeah, he was busy. But yeah, Captain Ollie and felt good. He was close to scoring a couple of, it's just, we talked about it after the game where it was just good game script for Ollie Cap and he got double return. And also it was only in air quotes 8 points. So I lost 8 points on the captain miss. Overall,
also very surprising. Like one of the things that makes Ollie a great asset is he's very consistently good on bones.
Yeah.
So, before the very fraudulent pen, it was like, okay, he's on like 2 bones or something like that. I don't know how this game is going to end. Pen gets given, Doug Louise dongs it. He's so good on pens. He'll just never miss a pen. It seems like immediately Ollie's out of bones, even on a double return, which I still find very surprising, but is what it is,
Yeah, yeah. So
assists
that was that.
Just like aren't worth enough.
Yeah, that was that for me. 77. And I barely moved, so there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like...
All right, your turn, brother.
Let's look at this wild card team. 58.
So let's spend some time on this because you know, we chatted a little bit, but we had definitely as little as contact I could ever imagine when one of us was a wild card. Yeah, you were
down for the count.
Yeah, I couldn't pod, and, you know, you were left to your own devices. You couldn't pod,
you couldn't live stream, you were out of town a little bit.
Yeah, and here you are with starting four defenders, so let's go over it.
Yeah, baby. So, 58 points, started Moreno over Palmer, first haul against me, didn't go Mo, didn't go Sun, two more hauls against me, and then, you know, no Ariola, no Dubravka, two more hauls against me. The five most owned guys against me in the game all got their highest points of the season, except Sun, who only got 9.
Yeah.
It didn't go well.
No, didn't go well.
But I'm not that bothered. I had that like kind of realization yesterday and more today when I was thinking about it. I was like, man, if this was like 6 years ago, I'd be so devastated. Yeah. I would be like, I fucking fucked it again. I ruined my season. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, my team's good.
You know, well, you must have also at halftime of your game been like, what deal did I make with the devil here?
Oh my God, Mo's on. Yeah. Like, Mo cap was negative, on -2.
-2. You're like, oh my, is Mo going to actually get 0?
All I cared about at that point was Liverpool winning the fucking game, which was also stressful.
You cared about both things. Let's not get it upside down. You wanted to win.
I was very happy to get some. I was standing up screaming on every Mo attacking return.
Obviously, yeah, you're happy when the goals go in, but you also would have preferred for them to have been Curtis unassisted. Don't lie to everyone.
No, I mean, that's a more hindsight thing. In the moment, didn't give a shit. Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I mean, there's no real defense to having Sun on wildcard, but there certainly was a corner case to make with Mo. I sort of like,
what's the difference between the two players, do you think?
Well, Mo is just the second best pick in the game, and Sun is just maybe in the top 5 midfield conversation at his price, I think.
I think he's easily top 5 midfield, no?
I think he's more replaceable than Mo. I mean, you know, I agree with when that. He's playing on the wing. But I think like, at his price at 10 million, when you're looking at, you can't have both. And if you're going to hold one of them.
Yeah, on wild card, you're never going both.
Yeah, I'm saying sure. On wild card. Yeah, also, it's not nothing that South Korea should walk the tournament and not come back until after the finals.
I'm not going to pretend to know anything, but the gambling odds are basically equal for Egypt and South Korea for when they expect to get knocked out or come home.
Okay.
It's the same. So like that's a wash. I don't care about that.
So, I mean, that's stunning to me because I couldn't even name, other than Japan, another team in that competition. And I can name many.
Maybe it's less teams, you know, maybe something like that.
Yeah, maybe the time. I don't know. Anyway, but, you know, you can't have both. And I think with Mo, like holding Mo, and if you're going to hold either, it would be Mo. But the team you can make without Mo is still good. You know, I mean, you could still make a team with Mo on the team. I mean, like holding Mo
with Mo
on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just seems so wrong and dumb to do that when you're wildcarding.
That's basically what it came down to. You know, it's people don't, you know, listen. There's many people who don't listen to every episode and stuff on Twitter and being like, oh my God, like, I can't believe, you know, such bad luck. I can't believe you didn't have Mo, like all this shit. It's like, dude, I've had Mo since game week 25 last season. He's been in my team straight through this season. I didn't have him for one game week. I mean, I think part of the reason that I've gained more wisdom and I'm not devastated, like I said, I used to be if something like this happened or when something like this would inevitably happen every season, is that, I mean, there is just no such thing as a sure thing in this game. Doesn't matter if it's fucking Mo. Doesn't matter if it's fucking Haaland. Doesn't matter how good the fixture is. There's no such thing as a sure thing. So going with someone, Mo in this case, who has a good fixture, I obviously agreed that was a good fixture. I didn't think it was as good. I still would have capped Ollie. I was still with you on that front. But a good fixture, great player, great team, who's guaranteed red flagged for at least 2, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. to me, it just made no sense. It just made absolutely no sense. You know, it's like going game week one with that. You know, I'm on wild card. I can pick any players in the game. Liverpool have a good fixture game week one. He's red flag for 2 through 5. No one is picking that player. Literally, no one is picking that player, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's there are different ways you can look. I mean, because you're still also sitting there with, I have 8 million in the bank to get Haaland. It's like, well, that's one extra transfer. Do you need to, you know, I mean, you know, but either way, you know, it's certainly defensible, certainly made sense based on the week, the literal week that you had to use your wild card that you wouldn't have Mo.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just got max punished. I mean, 16 is 16. And yeah, that happens. That's the game.
Yeah, it just happens, you know? I mean, I don't really regret any of the personnel decisions I made. I put a lot of time and thought into it. I was writing the fucking musings and shit. I was really thinking about it a lot. I definitely had some Mo tinkers. I definitely had some Sun tinkers too, because I thought that was an even better fixture. I was thinking about captaining Sun too. Ultimately I came to this, and yeah, like you said, I got max punished. Is what it is. You know, there's a lot of random shit that happens in this fucking game. That's Palmer, it, man. Yeah, Palmer. Did you watch that game?
Not live.
Those were fraudulent points.
No,
I did watch that game.
That's bullshit.
It's not. It's very not bullshit. I watched the whole game. Start to finish.
I just think that you fund...
They were bad.
Yeah.
Like, they've been bad in almost every away game the entire season.
Yeah. And he had a few moments, and he's classy, and he did the things. But
I mean, he scored a worldie. He side passed, assisted a worldie. And then the one, like, you know, sitter by XG, it obviously wasn't a sitter. He had to dribble by three people and the keeper.
But, I mean, I still... How did you come to the decision or the conclusion that, you know, benching Palmer at Luton when they ship goals at home all year,
they
compared
don't.
To start, yeah, they. I mean, they give up two to every team at home.
Not
every
true.
Team that comes
Not
there true. That's half decent scores a couple goals.
Not true.
True.
No, I mean,
yeah.
Look,
Man City 2, Arsenal 4, Palace 1, Liverpool 1. Spurs 0-1-2.
I mean, so it's between 0 and 2 very consistently, except the crazy ass Arsenal game.
And then you start wingers on teams that are no defense clean sheet, really. Like, I don't know. Like, how did you end up with Moreno and Purvis? I think either of them could have been easily... I think Purvis should have been on the bench. Like, if you sent me your team, I'd have been like, how are you starting Purvis over Palmer?
I know, that's what Bug said too, because I did send him my team because he was awake.
That's insane. That's
not to me. I mean, clearly not to me, or I wouldn't have made the choice.
So what did you see? How did you see it?
I just see them as extremely attacking defenders with a decent chance of cleans, and Palmer with a... You know, Chelsea have an upside of 1 to 2 goals max with how they've been playing all the year away, with also how they played this game. That's why I'm like, no, I it sucks, obviously, to see an 18er on my bench who everyone owns and everyone who didn't wildcard started. But again, I'm just like, I don't think it was that bad. You know, if this was a different fixture, if this was basically, it came down to this, like, I was looking at my team. Next, say 4 or 5. When is Moreno starting? Maybe 2 games, right? It would be home Burnley, and then he has Sheffield soon too. And I was looking at other players, Porro, Stupinian. I put them in a similar class of, like, I kind of feel lucky if they ever clean, but they're the two most attacking defenders in the game. Obviously, Trent, I'm starting every game. And then I look at Palmer, and I literally was, this and maybe away Liverpool are the only two games I'm not going to start, and maybe away City. Every other game he's in my team, starter for sure. And that was basically it. And then the one week I didn't start him, you know, because I went Garnacho. I didn't go for like a, you know, I could have gotten any midfielder there. I could have got Rich or whatever and go for someone who I think is a better attacker than Palmer. I intentionally didn't do that because I want to start Palmer in like 95% of game weeks. And the one I didn't, he gets an 18.
Yeah.
That's how I'm seeing it. I mean, it was just unfortunate, but
I'm just nothing I can do now about it. Yeah, I'm just not with you on the all of the things there.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't feel great ever benching Porro or Stupinan. Moreno, obviously, like you can make the better case for benching, in my opinion. Even though they probably had a better chance, much better chance of a clean than a Stupinan, you would say, because he was away West Ham. I just don't want to bench assists and goals and bonus, which is like classic of Stupinan, right? No clean and he gets a 10-pointer.
He played center back, which is impossible to predict. Yeah, you can't predict that. But yeah,
Moreno, I mean, I look at Moreno and I was seeing a home Burnley. Okay, this is as banker clean as you're going to get for the season, pretty much.
Their fraudulence was exposed.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about their fraudulence all year for sure. Long but like, give me a high chance of a clean paired with, again, a very, very attacking defender.
Moreno's not close. I think it's Purvis because, granted, they kept their clean sheet, and this is like egg on my face here, their first clean sheet. But at West Ham is not, especially for Brighton, it's like, I was like, that's like a under 5% or that they keep it clean here.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so that's where it is. And it's like, Luton at home, like they have stuff at Kenilworth Road, but it's a promoted side. Like it's Chelsea, like it's Palmer, like Pens, like it's just too much. You know, that's just how I see that one.
I also think hindsight's 2020 and like I could have. Moreno could have gotten assists. Villa could have cleaned. You know, it could have.
No, I mean, Moreno's not in
worldie from a 0% angle. You know,
Moreno's not a question. Moreno's the start, and Moreno is not a question.
Yeah, Palmer is fucking amazing. They did. I can't believe how good like their scouting department was because everyone, including us, was like, "What are they doing? Spending this money on this kid? He's incredible. He's so good." And I don't really regret my decision. It just sucks.
Happens. Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it is just, you know, he's not benchable, really. Like, it doesn't really matter.
He's definitely entering that territory. He has four double-digit hauls.
Yeah, and he has pens. Like, you know, he also has pens until proven otherwise, unless if Nkunku takes one when Palmer's on the pitch, which seems very unlikely after
that
the record he has.
That seems impossible to me.
Yeah, so even when he is playing at Liverpool, even when he is playing at City, like, it doesn't take a handball from a corner away from him getting 10 points. So everyone's sitting here fucking saying,
you know, set piece assist, classic.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's sitting here like, oh, Doug Luiz is fucking God incarnate because, you know, he's a DM getting, like, being started in every, you know, I mean, Palmer's
The difference between them is like when Palmer got 5 pens in a row or whatever, he also had incredible underlying numbers.
I mean, the difference.
Luiz's only points are just, you know, corners and pens. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, that's my wildcard team.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is. I'm down over 100K, not ideal. And my team's fucking amazing. And, you know, I'm 2 transfers ahead of everyone. Is kind of how I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, the thing that sucks is just you got max punished with those few players that you didn't have that everyone else had, and it was the last game and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they will be getting towards your team and you already have your team. So you need to just hope to try and get back to where you were instead of trying to consolidate this week, which was you were exposed, and then you're far ahead. So that's like the thing that sucks. Like that just felt badly
that's
what sucks.
It's 2 steps back, and now I just need to grind it and just slowly, hopefully, climb back to where I was beyond.
Right.
And that just is what it is. You just got to move on.
And you have Kaminsky, so you're fine.
Yeah, Kaminsky. Soon. League updates. We got a tie first place in the December mugs for Cam Lee, aka Huang Gang, and Sebastian Spinetto, aka Bone Seeker. Second place, Hugo Underhill, aka Brain Force Plus FC. Third place, so welcome back to Jeff D, aka Jeff Dodds. Good job by you guys. I'll hit you all.
How
up
can
for the
he
mugs.
Be in? He fucking quit the pod.
Nah, he came back. He came back in time, I think.
That's suspicious.
Yeah, I mean, we checked the tape on that, but I think he came back.
We'll have to check the tape. We'll check receipts.
I'm pretty, Hugo's probably going to be pissed that he's not tied for first, but you took a hit in game week 14, and these fucking websites that you guys all tell me are amazing when they include your month total, don't include the fucking hit on the first week of the month. It's been an FPL issue.
Dude, I don't
for
even
10
know what you're
years.
Talking about. What are you talking? Oh,
you
the
know
first,
what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. That's
the
still
first
a thing.
Game week
gotcha.
Of the month, which in this case was game week 14. It's if good. You took a hit that week, these websites and even the FPL site itself don't include that in your month total. We do.
Yeah, it's good.
So that's why you're in second place, not first place.
There you go.
And shout out to the leader of the public league, Sindre Karlsson, aka Var Bussen. Good job by everyone. Sun and Mo, dude. That's what everyone's asking about.
Sun and Mo. What are they?
Sun
are
and Mo. Mo and
not
Sun.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Yeah. They're gonzo. I guess before we talk, everyone asks about who to get, and then asked about every mid that's in the game that is gettable. But before that, maybe it's more interesting to talk about possibly holding. I mean, Fred and Dino asked about holding Mo. They have a ton of value in him. They've had him since game week one. He could be back by 24. What do you think about that? Just bench players like Gusto, Garnacho, Branth, McAtee, etc. seem fine for starters for a few weeks. And then
yeah.
X50 and Bear Creek's asking about if you only want to get rid of one of them, would you get rid of Sun or Mo this week? You know, who do we boot? Who do we hold? Is there any logic to keeping them or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I am 1,000,000% holding Sun. I'm sorry, Mo. I'm getting rid of Sun. I'm holding Mo for sure because the way my team is set up, I can turn Ollie to Haaland very easily. And there are cheap mids that I like that I can get and just put Mo on the bench. Like, I'm not even losing anything.
Right.
So for me, it's pretty straightforward on that one. I think it really does hinge, though, on Haaland. Like, you can't play this game without Haaland when he's fit. And by all accounts, it seems like he's going to be back at least on the bench for Newcastle, right? I mean, that seems to be what the discussion is.
And then game week 22 is the big one, home Burnley. I mean, not having him for that is just asking for it. Yeah.
Which is in a month from now.
Yeah, it's very far away. Yeah.
Unless if he either re-injures or gets a new injury, he will be starting home Burnley on January 31st, game week 22nd. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, if you don't have him there, you're just, I don't know what you're up to. You know, you're bending over with spreading your cheeks. So
yeah.
If you can't get him without freeing the money from Mo, because it is a 3 million difference from him to Son.
Yes.
Like, I think hiding either of them is very functional because
yeah, I think it's fine. There's enough enablers, right?
There just aren't that many expensive players that you want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there really just aren't.
Especially with the defenders that, you know, like, Fred mentioned Gusto, but you know, there's the Branth. There's all these even defenders that can just like slot in, and they're like more than fine. Yeah.
So you know, I mean, it's obviously team specific, but I think holding both is ridiculous. No one can do that.
Both is actually not viable.
It's not viable.
Yeah,
but holding one is fine, and if you can hold Mo, I think again, I mean, I think he's just so much better than Son, and he's also harder to get back if you do get rid of him because you're assuming you're redistributing the money.
Yeah.
So if you could do that, that's wonderful. But if not, you know, you get rid of both. I mean, if you need to free the money up to get Haaland and shit like that, you know, needs must, right?
Yeah. I'm with you there. Yeah. And I agree. Like, I mean, this will be more of a, you know, game week 25 episode or something like that when we're coming to this, but there's going to be a, are we sure we're getting Sun back conversation when that comes around? Because we're all going to have Mo and we're all going to have Haaland for 1,000,000% sure.
For sure.
We'll see. Like, it's going to like be, oh, do I have to downgrade Trent to turn the midfielder into Sun?
That's the answer,
and it's like,
then
no. Yeah, exactly. That's what I anticipate being the sort of question.
I mean, to me, it's more like he's going to be competing with that Saka spot, and then it would help, you know, he'll drop down
he's
a little
than
bit.
Saka,
you could
he's
definitely better than Saka. You know, you could probably shed a few shackles to turn your Saka to Son.
Yeah.
That's how I imagine it going, but it's still far away. We'll see. And, you know, and it's also impossible to predict because Spurs are going to be healthier in a month than they are now. Yeah. And, you know, Son comes back. I mean, Rich is just not in their best team when everyone's fit. So
when
if Son goes back to striker, then it's yeah, you know, you need Son.
Must have. Yeah,
you
yeah.
have to have him if he's playing striker because he's.
Yeah, I agree with
you know,
that.
Then it's Haaland, Mo, Son, three best picks in the game by a distance, yeah. for sure. You know, yeah. and you need those players. So.
And then I have another wrinkle for you, which is, well, let me see. I think it's game week 26. This is thank you to everyone who is DMing me during the wildcard tinkers and telling me all of this like information that obviously our listeners know us and that I wouldn't know this shit.
Doubles and shit.
Yeah. If Chelsea gets by Middlesbrough, which obviously they're heavy favorites in a two-legged semifinal, then Spurs and Chelsea blank in game week 26. So we might be looking at a situation where like Son doesn't even have a game until game week 27.
Sure.
And it's the same with Liverpool, by the way. They're the other semifinal team. So
chaos.
That's also going to be a wrinkle.
Yeah, that's a big wrinkle. And yeah. the wrinkles will come. They always do.
They always do.
At least this year, the doubles are somewhat more reasonable and like usual.
More
just
normal.
Like, oh, the late stage cup competitions, you know, they sprinkle in here and there. It's not like the queen dies or.
Well, I'm literally Googling, like, how old is the king of England? He's 73. Yeah. Like, he has weird fingers. Hands. Yeah, like, he could die.
He could go at any moment.
Yeah, yeah we'll know about that guy.
I think that's that box. But in terms of just the midfield replacements, you know, what are you seeing in that? I mean, Palmer, we don't really need to talk about.
Palmer should be in every team. He's not like who I'm thinking about, right? Like I made a list. This is who everyone asked about. Bowen, Saka, Odegaard, Foden, Jota, sure. Rich, Elise, Eze, Gordon.
Yeah. So how are you feeling?
I mean, I still think Saka's a hold.
Yeah,
I've had him. You have him. He gets a weird random goal. That's what he does. He gets weird random ticking points, even when Arsenal don't play well and they were fucking awful at Fulham.
Yeah. You just don't have to think about him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
like Watkins, kind of.
Yeah, it's not fun watching Arsenal just like not flounder. Be able to attack for 80 minutes in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're tired. They're tired.
Seven pointers is a seven pointer.
They're just tired.
I mean, I think the interesting ones are like the most interesting ones are Foden and Jota.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, I went Foden on wild card. He gets a 12 pointer. He was incredible.
Yep.
He'll start at least probably the next two. I doubt Kev is ready to start. I doubt Holland's ready to start Newcastle. Right. So I love him for the next two.
Sure.
Then it starts to get weird, right? Then we're out of book by that point because you know Haaland will be back almost for sure by then. Kev might be back by then. What does that do to Foden? Is he going to play alongside Kev? We haven't really seen that. Is he going to go back to wing? Is he just going to be rotation?
Yeah.
Is Alvarez going to be the guy next to Kev? We have seen that. That has happened. You know, so he might be a really bad pick. In two game weeks or three game weeks. But for the next two, he's a really good pick.
Yeah, he has very, very significant long-term question marks like you're illustrating. And the issue also with Foden, for the record, is just like doesn't get huge chances, you know? So you're really buying assists here, which is kind of not... doesn't really line up with the eye test because he's so active.
And he's so good at shooting.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that just like strikes the ball so well, but they're all from like the corner of the box.
From range. They're from range, from bad angles that just flash wide of the post or get blocked. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, you're not looking at someone who's going to go on some goal binge here. So even though, yes, he was the best player on the pitch against Sheffield United, I mean, he got two assists, you know, it's not like he was piling on all these shots and it's like, holy shit, it was almost like a hat trick. So, you know, yes, I agree with you completely. When the team is the way it was against Sheffield United and the team sheet was the same as the Everton game and he's just doing everything, then he's an incredible pick. How long will that last? It looks like very short.
Yeah.
So even when Haaland's there, like that takes up space. Like he was making runs, like striker runs, you know, periodically, even though he's not necessarily getting anything from them. But, you know, it's just everything, like he just goes down like in the totem pole when everyone else is back. And yeah, like you're saying, I'm with you. You know, where does he go with Kev? Where does he go with this and that? Doku's back. So there's a lot of question marks there, but I think the time is definitely like now though. And it's similar to Oliver. It's like he's starting almost all the games and he's getting minutes and that's great. You know, I mean, you don't know when the spikes are going to come, but he's clearly in their best 11. Like he's just obviously elevating himself into another stratosphere of player and he's just too good to leave out, almost like Darwin or something. So, you know, he's not expensive. He's like 7-8. I mean, how badly is it going to go? It's not going to go that badly.
I mean, worst case is pretty bad because worst case is like two game weeks from now, you're like, holy shit, I need to get rid of him.
How is that possible?
And Sun and Mo still aren't back.
Yeah, but how could that be possible? Like in two game weeks, holy shit, I have to get rid of him.
He's benched for Burnley.
No, come on.
Benched for Burnley or Brentford. As soon as he's dropped for one game, which could be either of those games, that's how you feel for sure. He might also just start all of them and be incredible. But I'm just saying like that there is definitely like a bad floor, I would say. And there's a really, really high ceiling, right? Injuries and Pep and all this shit. It could be all bullshit. He even said in the quote, I don't know if you saw this Pep quote. He was like, I just wanted Kevin to be there for the trophies and the photo with the team, the smell of it all. And he didn't get a minute. He just warmed up. Like Kev might be a month away. We have no fucking idea.
That's possible.
Phone could just start the next five and he's fucking unbelievable pick. So
I just don't think the floor is super wide. I don't think the floor is as low as you at all. Okay. Like I think the floor is what we saw when he was just returning 1 and 3, you know, which he was doing mostly the whole season until recently. Yeah. And you know, I think he's just a fine pick. I mean, if you're asking me like Foden and Bowen, I think it's Foden is not close.
Yeah, Bowen still. It's every week. I'm sick of talking about him because I don't know what to do with him. I mean, he still looks good. He, you know, it was eventually
did he look
ruled
good
offside.
Today with no shots.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the offside was not 100%. You know, it didn't get VAR'd because the ball didn't go in the net, but he hit the post and he created two good chances, and you know, he was pretty good, but. I don't know.
They got thoroughly battered and dismantled. They got destroyed. I mean, it's like every
game. That happens all the time. And then he gets a goal.
But this is the kind of game I'm like, oh, yeah, of course he blanked because fucking watch the game. It's like, exactly. he obviously blanked. You know, and he just hasn't been doing that as much as he is. So.
But his numbers are great. Continue to be, you know, very good.
Kudus gone though, striker. Like, I didn't like that.
Also, Paqueta, knee injury. Don't like that. You know, so he's definitely like taking some knocks down the totem pole. I think Jota, in terms of all of these guys, I think probably has like the highest ceiling if you actually catch lightning in a bottle and get basically lucky. He has hat tricks.
Yeah.
Mo's gone. He's gonna play a lot of minutes. I have no idea if he's gonna start. We don't know
unless
who's gonna play on the right.
Unless if he doesn't.
And we all a famous price change rant. We also don't know that. I mean, it's like
no idea.
But Mo's gone.
We know that.
Sobo's hamstring is done.
Well, that doesn't matter at all.
It does because there's people talking. He might be the right winger, and then we just put in another midfielder.
That's ridiculous.
Not ridiculous, but it's like.
That's ridiculous.
There's a lot of guys that could play. And also Jota is known for, you know, a classic early sub. So he has like a little bit of the rich in him and whatnot, but he also has hat tricks in him. I think it's very, very risky. I probably wouldn't go there. I mean, it's also, we haven't talked about the schedule of game week 21 yet. Deadline is Saturday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And Liverpool play the next Sunday
because they play an FA Cup game
can play cup in the middle of the game week.
I mean, a lot of teams do. Every team that
half
plays,
the teams we're gonna get no press conference and they play a cup in the middle of the game week. Half the teams
that's
what's so up. Like fucking picking that's a guy FPL, who's baby. Not nailed, who's injury prone and has cup games going into that seems really scary. And you're literally for 9 days, you're just like, wow, I really hope he survives and plays.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just not feeling it with Jota, honestly. I know he's like getting a lot of helium because of all the things you're talking about, but
yeah,
they're just, it's just, you know, how many minutes do I really expect him to play in the next few? Like, you know, maybe like 180 in the next three games. Like, that's fine. And
180 is generous, even. That's 60 a game, you know? Like, he's not, yeah, he might not start all of them.
Well, I think that's like if he starts two and gets a bench, like he'll get a 90, a 30, a 60. Like, that's kind of what I expect in the next three. Yeah. And then you're just home Burnley looking there. Like, how many times have we been held hostage by Jota on Liverpool in our teams? Like, so many times.
I started game week one with him.
Yeah. No,
and he was great for me.
Yeah.
But I also got the fuck out of there right after he was benched.
You got out at the right time.
I evacuated and. Yeah. And I missed a 1-1-6 negative two.
Yeah. So, you know, you can play that game too, you know, like we talk about with the City players in years past. But it's just, you know, what kind of risk do you want to absorb, you know, at this time of the year when we're talking about
I don't like it.
Blanks
I don't like
and
it.
This and that. I'm just like, I don't
and
know what's going on here.
Everyone needs transfers right now, right? Like every single person, even me, fresh off wildcard, needs my free transfers because I'm going to need to get Haaland back. We're eventually going to get Mo back. We might get Son back. People who own Mo and Son are, you know, obviously using transfers to get rid of them. So,
I mean, you're transferring Jota in knowing that he is a future in huge neon flashing lights. Like, this is a problem. And I just don't like doing that. You know, I just don't feel like there's a long enough runway with enough security right now that I would want him in my team. I mean, I would take Bowen over him. Not close. Like, I think it's Foden, Bowen, Jota, like way the fuck far away.
Yeah, I'm with you. And at the same time, I get it. Like, if you're a punty player and you want to go for that upside,
and
I mean,
sexy and fun. And
I was just, I'm just opening last season, right? If there's any like windows, like there's a 4-game week window right here where he started 3 out of 4. He scored 5 goals and 1 assist.
Yeah.
So like, that's the upside. That's what he could do. And he also could start, you know, 1 of 4 and just be the worst pick in the game.
Yeah.
That's the game you're playing.
That's the game you're playing, exactly.
What about Rich? Have you changed at all on Rich?
No. I mean, not
I
at
have,
all.
Actually. I all right, have.
Go ahead.
I just feel like he's actually getting better at playing striker. I mean, there are games still in recent memory where he only has one shot and that was the one goal and then he gets subbed and it's like, that's not sustainable, you know? But there are also other games in this run where he's getting a lot of shots, looking good, getting goals regularly because they create so many chances. And the one thing about Spurs is, like, while I think they're very overrated, they just keep, the system stays the same. Like, he has an incredible ability of coaching these bad players into doing stuff that otherwise they wouldn't be able to do normally in a normal system. And
they,
like,
don't have bad players, so that's not fair. That's harsh.
I mean, their backups are playing a lot of minutes.
Skip
right
is
now.
Bad. Like, you can isolate one or two of these players as bad, but Lo Celso is not bad.
No,
you know,
I mean, he's, I love a backup,
but that's what I mean. I mean, I think that's a little harsh.
I mean, Davis and Royale were their center backs, you know, like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you could. No, I mean, BJ. There's definitely one or two.
I don't know about BJ.
PJ is fine. I mean, he runs, he does the things. Okay. But anyway, carry
anyway,
on with
your... I'm just saying, I think he's like growing into the role a little bit. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that he plays 81 the week, you know, Son is leaving in a tough game. You know, Son leaving, in theory, that. Every time Rich is getting subbed early in the last month, 2 months, Son moves to striker and someone else plays wing. Son's not there anymore, you know? So that should, in theory, just naturally mean maybe he's not getting subbed. Maybe he just lasts 80 instead of 65, which is a big difference to me. And maybe if
possible.
It's a draw, you know, it's a tying game, maybe he'll even play 90 one of these games.
It's possible. That's possible.
So I just feel like he's getting a little bit better. You know, he's obviously in form. He's scoring every game. And I just expect the team to still, you know, continue. Like I said, the system just keeps happening. I just expect them to continue attacking relentlessly, creating chances.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
You know, VDV will be back soon. Romero's going to be back soon. Matto, yeah, the series the spine, back soon.
Yeah, the spine will be better, and you know, maybe Matto will come back. I mean, I take your point about lack of alternative options at striker. I mean, they really have no one except for the kid Valiz, who
also might have done his hammy or something, and he limped off last game.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if they have literally no one, I mean, to me, it looks more from watching these few games with him is like, he's reasonably fit and fresh because he hasn't been playing all year. So he has a little bit more legs than everyone else because, you know, he can play a few games in a week when he's being managed. And he also hasn't been playing all year. Meanwhile, in the Bournemouth game, like no one else on the pitch is in that category. And, you know, I still just feel like he runs with his, like a fucking headless chicken, and he presses, like goes on blind alleys by himself, like not really doing anything. Yeah. And he's just a dumb idiot. So...
I mean, I'm not going to dispute any of those.
Yeah, it's also like interesting too about this. Like, I feel like it's almost like a false narrative that Spurs like create so many chances because I know the numbers are the numbers, but when I watch them play, it's like
no, I agree. I agree with
you. Like, do they create?
I think
they pressure a lot. But yeah, like, are they creating chances? Like,
they don't create as many chances as it seems for sure, and.
It's like at literal like 45 to 60 minutes will go by from minute like 30 to 70 and I'm like nothing happened. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And like Sargon is something. Like I don't know.
Sorry,
I
mean, Bissouma.
Bissouma I think is very replaceable with Hoj, but I think it's like it's similar. I'm saying like you're saying about this the system. And like the system is the system, and you can put in Bavis at center back instead of VDV and they can still somewhat do the things if not conceding multiple goals, you know, rely more on Poro because this and they can get creativity from that area of the pitch. Like, but I still just feel like in general, like they're a good team. They're fine. And also I don't rate Rich and I think they're going to have a big issue with Sun missing if they have to put Kulu back on the wing, like Kulu, Rich, BJ with no Sar. And like, it's just like, how good is Lo Celso? We're about to find out.
Yeah. Because it's going to be like Lo Celso, Bent and Hoge or something.
Yeah. I mean, Bent and Kerbeck is a big deal.
Big.
So I mean,
it's big.
I mean, maybe that is fine.
And they might buy, you know,
yeah,
they could buy. It's they January.
Could buy like Berg. They could buy Bergwijn or something, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, maybe Lo Celso and Bent back together again. They played. Good. Yeah, I mean, they played like half an hour together before, I think, and maybe that's enough. You know, I mean, maybe that is creativity enough, and you know, Rich is still going to bang. I mean, it's back to the like he's 6'9". Whether he plays 70, 80, 60, it's like he's fine. You know, he's fine. Like they attack. Yeah, he's fine.
I think he's a good pick. I think he's a good pick.
I can't go back there. Watching him is so tough for me.
Yeah. He might be on pens, but, and then, you know, the Palace guys. Talk to me about the Palace guys.
Well, I was chirping at you about the Palace guys.
Yeah, I know, about getting him on my wild card team.
Yeah,
I
and didn't you were believe. Just like, fuck you, like Brent Ham, like you're an idiot. And I was like, okay, dog. And then they both.
That's exactly verbatim what I said.
They both got fucking 15 points or whatever. I mean, it's serious. It's a serious thing because the fixtures after Arsenal, which we don't even. First of all, we play Arsenal at Emirates very well every year. We get up for that fixture.
That's the first of all. The second of all is, are Arsenal ever going to keep it clean again? Pummeled by Fulham, by the way. Yeah. Like,
they
I
might
know.
Never Saliba keep it clean
was
again.
Terrible. Like, the whole team was terrible. So
the fixtures after Arsenal are home Sheffield United, at Brighton, home Chelsea, at Everton, home Burnley, at Spurs, home Luton. So
what is that? What, three home games against who?
So we have three home games against the three promoted sides in a 7-game week window, which I don't know if another team has that all year. Like that is
someone
scheduling
had, I think,
gods.
Yeah, like maybe Chelsea had that in the early part of the season or something.
I don't know if they
like
were
that.
But they're all I don't know if they were all
yeah,
home.
Yeah,
they
probably
home.
Weren't all home. Probably weren't all home. But
they're
yeah.
all home. And the in-between fixtures are at Brighton, which is attack.
Great.
You know, home Chelsea, which is another one where like that could be anything. At Goodison, their goals there, and then at Spurs, their goals there. So the other thing, so that's fixtures as good as you can hope for. The other thing too with Palace is like, Woy is so old and, you know, he should die. You know, we know that. We've been over that for a long time. But ultimately, like,
so Eze and Elise, so
Eze and Elise have not played together all year.
Yeah.
And when they play together, this is
so fucking good.
An actual incredible attacking team, because
they're so good. Like, they're exciting.
Both out, yeah, they're both out balls. They both get fouled. There's really good interchange, whether it's Mateta or Edward, there's really good interchange between those players. They can both drop deep. They can both make runs in. They both have, you know, at least as pace. Schlupp coming in for Jayu, I think, will be somewhat more of the same. I mean, I think the refs have finally caught on to Jayu, honestly, which, thank God, because all he does is just shield the ball and fall down. He doesn't get fouled half as many times as he usually gets called for fouls.
On Everton, I don't know, or where some belongs. Shit.
He's just diabolical. But I don't think like putting Schlupp in is that big of a deal. And, you know, Lerma's been fine. You know, we play Richards, Hughes, whatever, but ultimately, when Eze and Elise play together, we score. I mean, look at what we did in the last 10 or so games last year. They played every game. This is this game, right? Like, look at the Brenham game. I mean, we concede after 5 seconds, but other than that, it was just ridiculous. It was not competitive at all. And we're pressing high. You know, we were doing that against Chelsea also for a long time.
Yep.
You know, we're pressing high. We're changing a little bit. We're not just, you know, 10 men behind the ball with, you know, we hope to just nick one on the counterattack. And, you know, we're safe, very safe right now. And we have this run. I feel like goals are coming for us. You know, I mean, it started with Brenham. I think they're going to come. So I'm like really, really high on both Eze and Olise.
Yeah, just to remind people, last year, starting game week 29... So that was around the sacking Woy, getting them to play better and shit. The goals for Palace were 2-5-2-0-0-4-0-2-2-1.
Yeah,
so just good attack there, but with a lot of fucking goals in there.
Yeah, and I don't know the fixtures of the zeros. I'm sure they weren't against, you know, Luton or whatever. Yeah, but
no.
But the
zeros were home Everton, at Wolves, at Spurs.
Yeah, which you don't love to see because those aren't too tough. But
it's not home Burnley, home Luton, sure. Home Sheffield. Sure. It's still very different, yeah.
Sure. And, I mean, this isn't like saying just blanket, you know, we're going to be a great attack for the rest of the season. It doesn't matter who we play. It matters who we play very much. And other than the Arsenal game, which is on paper a hard fixture, even though we do usually score goals in that game, really, really kind run. So I think it's just a good place. I mean, I'm like really, right, but really
which
high
one?
On
because
it.
I've always both. Been an Eze guy, both. And Eze should still be on pens.
Yeah, but should be.
Elise has been the one hauling more lately. Like, he looks fresher, and he's like just making those runs into the box.
He looks fresher
and
because
stuff.
He wasn't just injured for two
injured
months
for a
but
long time. Yeah,
yeah, I would if I have to pick one. I'm still picking Eze for sure. Me because too. Elise yeah. is still very much the back post runner. He is very much, you know, getting. He's like the assister, but Eze yeah. makes the supplementary striker runs. He gets huge chances in the box. And like you said, you know, we believe him to be on pens. He didn't take that one because he came on sub late, like the game like a couple games ago.
Yeah.
But I think both are fantastic. Like, I just think that, and they share set pieces. So that's tough in terms of indirect set pieces because they're both deliveries fantastic. And we do have a team of actual monsters. I mean, we yeah. should be scoring a lot more set piece goals than we do. I don't know who our set piece coach is, but I would fire him and get someone else because we have Lerma, Richards in midfield. I mean, we're playing with fucking like four Groks and Mateta, especially when Mateta plays, he's like 6'4", but we don't score any set piece goals. So I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, I mean, I think they're both just amazing. Honestly, as I and Elise both are just amazing right now.
So
and
again,
I do think,
looking,
dude, Richards at 3.9 is also, I mean, we haven't kept any cleans. Dude, he's 3.9. I mean, yeah, I just listed those fixtures. I mean, you want to start, you have a few good home games. I mean, it's like, he's better than
you
Branthwaite.
You need to make money somewhere, yeah.
He's better than Branthwaite.
Yeah,
Branthwaite
has bad fixtures. Yeah,
he's not better than Gusto, but he's better than Branthwaite. I mean, he's a pick. And he's been, you know, okay. he hasn't been incredible. He's some games better than others, but he's still, you know, he's still only played a few games at the position, and there's room for improvement there. He's still young, and he's quick, and he's, you know, he puts himself about. So, and he's going to be a set piece threat, even though he hasn't been so far. I mean, he's still a center back. He's like our third or fourth set piece target, and he's fucking big guy. So
he's big, you know, big American lad.
There could be a goal there.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to bring up last season again, just as you were talking, I was pulling up the numbers from game week 29 to 38 in that run. Both of them started all 10 games. Eze got 6 goals, 1 assist. Alisa got 0 goals, 6 assists. Yeah. So they were just like that. They were exactly who we thought they were, right? Eze is the goal scorer. Oh. He's getting shots, big chances, took a pen, etc. And Alisa was just the entire creative hub of the team in that period.
But Alisa is different this year than he was last year, because last year he would never get in the box. Like, he wouldn't make far post runs either when it would go on the left flank. Like, he was like at the elbow, putting in crosses, going down the corner line. Like, he was never getting into goal scoring positions. And this year he very much is. Like, he's coming inside. He's playing a little bit more like Saka, honestly, like where he'll find those little lanes to come inside more.
And,
you know, he does. I mean, as evidence, he has 5 goals now. He had 2 goals the year before all season. He only has 1 assist, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I think he's just like elevating his game before our eyes also, because he's been the best player for the last few games on the pitch for us easily. I mean, he's been unplayable.
He's taking way more shots. He's in the box more, all that stuff. All right. So, I mean, yeah, is what it is. And I think part of it Wilf also, right? I mean, like,
absolutely.
Wilf was the main guy, the main way to get the ball in the box, the main man, and now he's not there. So,
And it Eze is sort of the player that stitches it together and progresses the ball, but the main man, as it was with Wilf, if you think of Palace playing, it's like, oh, Wilf's isolated on the left and he just makes it happen. Like, that's just Alisa on the right. Like, that's, it's like we set up for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he does it. He does, he's kind of a similar player. I mean, he's less direct, but. We have a good run coming up right now. So as long as Alisa and Eze stay fit, I think we're going to score some goals. I think they're both really good picks.
Since early in the season, I've just been all about Eze. I mean, he's just so much more of the donger, and it's time. I mean, I probably won't make a transfer this week, but I could, and they have Arsenal anyway. But like, you know, for game week 22, I could see that. I could see myself bringing him in for someone. You know, maybe that's Bowen or Foden or something, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, that was a lot of midfield action. This is just a midfield pod. We got some other questions. Hardly Boy said, early thoughts on best captain options for this next game. We're going to be a lot of differentiation, it feels like.
Yeah.
It is an interesting time for caps, right? No Mo, no Son, no Haaland.
Yeah.
Any standouts?
No.
I think Bowen will be popular just because he's at Sheffield.
I'm not going there.
I think
there.
Palmer will be popular mainly because he hauled this game week, but he's also home Fulham.
Yeah, it's just neither the early Saturday. Early Saturday morning lore is very loud to me.
Especially early Saturday when there's 2 weeks before the next game. Yeah.
I mean, they did just have early Saturday Luton night lore, and he just fucking hauled
and
ass.
He teamed it.
I mean, like you said, though, you could also make an argument that, you know, you're emphasizing heavily on the first weekend's worth of games because it's a game before.
You'll have
and you
press
know
conferences.
Fit. Yeah, but we have vice captains on also. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, my initial was Darwin.
I think that's a totally fine guy. I expect similar to the Spurs game, just open, high press from both teams. Yeah, you know,
goals, chances, blah blah blah. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's what I'm feeling strongest on, and I will probably go there.
Yeah.
But there are certainly a lot of options.
I mean, I was looking a lot on my wild card on like at a Rashford, and everyone thought I was fucking insane. You know, obviously it pops up with another goal. And part of it was like when I was planning ahead of time, I was like, he might be my favorite captain in Game Week 21. Like, I think Spurs are that open and that bad defensively that I was actually looking at. I don't own him, so I'm not going to captain him, but just wanted to shout that out.
But but then you watch the Man United performance, you're like, oh yeah, that's
I mean, hopefully he's back to left wing, but you know, because he's always bad at striker. But yeah, and I don't think it's impossible to Captain Holland. You know, I mean, we don't.
Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, we won't get great information, but maybe there'll be a leak or something. Whatever. Yeah, Jal, fine, Foden,
well,
fine.
How do you see that fixture? Like, Newcastle with their knackeredness, but it's at home. Like,
yeah, I don't know anymore, man, because sometimes you trust coaches to be rational. And, you know, Ten Hag's one of the worst managers in the league. He fucking parked a bus. He knew what to do. Eddie comes to Anfield. He's too proud to ever park a bus at Anfield.
We haven't even talked about. Can we talk about your team for a few minutes?
Go for that game, right? He has to go for that scalp.
How good are Liverpool?
Oh my god! That game was a fucking joy. Well, it was kind of a nightmare when it was 0-0 at half because they played so well, and I was like, "How could we have possibly played this that well?" And it was 0-0, and Joe Linton doesn't have a yellow card to like drive and fucking kill me at that point, but. Then they just did it again in the second half and absolutely fucking destroyed them. And it was so
good. It's the best
good.
Team in the league.
After that game, hard to argue.
We haven't seen a performance like that in the league by any team.
Yeah, not this year. Yeah, certainly not this year. And it wasn't, you know, Chef U at home, you know, early part of the season or anything. You know, like this is Newcastle off a week rest with basically their best 11 except Trips.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that's insane about it with Liverpool and, you know, I mean, they still don't have Rabah or whatever, but when you look at their first like 15 or 16 up and down, I mean, they're literally world-class players in every spot.
I know.
They're playing with a bat and, you know, they're also playing with fucking not only backup center back without Matip, you know, he's playing with, I mean, I guess Kanate's not really a backup, but they're playing with their.
I would say
with,
is.
Yeah, I mean they're playing with Gomez at left back, but
Gomez, yeah, third string left back, who's a right footer.
They don't have a third string right back, left back. It's just
basically they put it on
their foot. But like you look at the interchange and the optionality that they have in midfield and attack and like. They make the subs. It's just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, and like, you know, Harve is just unused. You know, not even used. And they just like do all that incredible shit. It's crazy.
Part of the why the depth has been so incredible is like these backups have stepped up and played really well, right? Yeah. Like Gomez has been great. Kanate has been great. Endo has been fucking great.
He's been so good. Unreal.
And then he subs up for McAllister, and you're like, oh my God, we're even better.
Outside boot pass.
Yeah, insane. Oh my God.
I mean, Endo was not so good, but he has been so good the last few games. It's like he just needed a couple games to like get into a rhythm of like, oh, this is what I have to do now. He's a fucking baller. He's a baller.
He's really good. He's really cheap, and he just like is exactly
he's
what
really,
we needed, actually.
Really good. I love him.
Jota. I mean, you know, we talked about Jota as a pick, but in real life, like the difference of having him and not having him is just insane. I mean, at the time when we made the double change, I was like, I don't know, you know, because we were playing so fucking well. I was like, is this the best thing to make us better? And it just was. And like instantly triple change on 64, another double change later on 75, and it just seemed like we got better every single time.
Yeah.
And Newcastle just had no idea what to do. I mean, they were like, that was just complete humiliation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing performance.
Crazy game. Yeah, I was jacked up in the bar with Guest and with Nate. So good.
The lads.
And they both capped Mo, so they had some interest in it also. It's just like fucking.
Yep.
Good.
All right. What else we got going today?
Let's see. Shots. We already did these attackers.
Should we touch on Arsenal for a little bit?
Yeah. Do you have things to say about them?
I don't know. I mean, just their general profligacy and, you know, annoyance.
Yeah. Like,
what are they doing?
You know, I'm a numbers guy, right? So, I mean, really, this one game was the scary game, the Fulham game, because they were just awful.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. They just played very badly.
They were the worst team, and they deserved to lose.
Even the goal was, like, kind of lucky. I mean, you know, Saka's in the right spot, right time, but, like, weird deflection. He didn't really know about it. Kind of bounced off his foot and in. The West Ham game, I mean, they lose 2-0. Fine with that. You know, like from a FPL perspective, and Saka with 9 shots. Like they were great in that game. They just didn't score. Versus the Fulham game, they were terrible. They actually did score, but didn't deserve to win at all. I think it was just like an off day. I mean, Milv, they drew against Fulham the first time. Milv has been... Fulham play up to the competition, seems like. They gave Liverpool a really tough game. I don't know, man. I mean, they're certainly not going to win the title if their attack looks like this. You know, right. And I think Arteta is the number one person that knows that. You know, I think he even said those exact words. Like, if we play like that, we're not going to be in the title race. They still have really good players. I still expect them to get better. But yeah, it was definitely a worry. It was definitely not great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so frustrating. Like, I mean, I've had Gabriel for a while, and I mean, I've obviously benched him once over the last like 2 months, and it was the 10-pointer at Liverpool. Troll. But otherwise, it's just been 1-1-6-2-1-2. It's like,
yeah,
they just look so lethargic. I just watching them, it's just like they're going through the motions. They generally keep some meaningless possession. They let up chances. They don't create much. I'm just like, what are they doing? It's very aggravating. It's just very aggravating. And I think they might have a center forward problem, honestly. It's like...
They do. I mean, I was going to bring that up.
Because Jesus might strictly just be not good enough. Like, for a team like this, when the structure is this around him, like, they don't have a Salah on the right wing who's scoring 20 goals. Yeah. They don't have a Mane on the left wing who's scoring 20 goals. Like... Jesus doesn't score goals, and where are the goals coming from? Like, it's just kind of nowhere, and it's a problem. Like, it makes me think, like, oh, actually, before the season started, Tony would come here and just be a backup. He would just be a strict upgrade to me on Jesus.
Yeah,
like, he would give the exact same thing, and also
they
score
need shots and they need goals.
16 goals, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus does all this shit, and he scores 6 goals. It's like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, he scored 11 in 2000 minutes. Like, it's like, but they come when the game's going well, and he makes up numbers, and it's just, they don't have the goals, and it's,
and they don't have the depth, right? I mean, when you were just talking about Liverpool, right? It's like, if the day is not going well for the two starters that not named Mo for Liverpool, they just change both of them at 60. And give him, okay, here's, fucking Gakpo and, Jota. Change it up.
I mean, necktie is just not good enough.
Like, necktie...
It's ridiculous that they persist with him.
Obviously, the backup... Like, they're just so thin, right? Like...
Yeah.
Trossard is, like, the number one backup at 3 different positions. Necktie is the only other striker. Well, Smith-Rowe, sort of, I guess. Smith-Rowe...
Who knows what's happened to him?
Is rumored to exist. Don't know. Yeah. Reece Nelson's... He was really good last year in sub appearances, but like he's recently
not in the last one. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it goes down the line, right? Zinchenko, yeah. I don't know what his injury was one game. Kivior is playing left back now. Yeah. You know,
it's not good enough.
And like, I mean,
there's a stink. I think there's
Even know. Like, obviously, I don't follow fucking league. Like, I have no idea if Balogun's playing well or not. But you think back, right? It's like, okay, yeah, you sell Balogun for 30 million because you quote unquote don't need him because you have Jesus and Nketiah. But I think we're just in like a different world now where it's 5 subs. It means you can change half your outfield players every game.
You need more than this.
You need more.
I mean,
you need Balogun there because if you're losing against Fulham, you need to bring on multiple attackers who are that level. Not one attacker at that level and 2 guys who never play.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or if Jesus goes through, he's playing for a month and he hasn't scored and it looks like he could be playing for 3 months without scoring, you need to make that change.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thinness is definitely there and they play 50, 60 games a year.
Yeah.
And they just look like the squad is not ready for it and it's suffering. Look, this isn't a team that's going to fall away and finish in 7th.
No.
This is going to be a Champions League team, but challenging for the title. Like, stop. It's just ridiculous. This is not.
And they're Kai, not near it. I love Kai, and I think he's really useful. But, like, there's literally no one on planet Earth, even Kai's family, that's surprised that he's on 4 goals.
I think that's a good return.
Yeah, he's on 4 goals in 1,100 minutes. Yeah, that's Kai.
That's good.
That's exactly who he is. But they were trying to. They were trying to. They spent 70 fucking million to upgrade the position.
I know. No, I mean he's.
And they're not going to get any more output in an attacking, you know, sense. Yeah. I mean, Chaka probably had more goals at this point.
Yeah. No, I mean they have problems, and you know I do admire Teta for like what he's trying to do with you know looking at the squad. I would probably try to do similar where it's just like the city stuff where they would just try and grind 1-0, 2-0s. But yeah, I mean the goals are just scarce, and you know I mean Odegaard. It's just they're in a tough spot. Yeah, I mean Martinelli's fall from whatever Martinelli was last year.
Yeah, because you're talking about they don't have a Mane to score 20 goals. I mean he scored 15 goals last year.
Yeah, and this year he looks like a fucking zombie. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
So that's probably a huge factor.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest single factor.
Especially because of how he started last season. Remember, like, we both literally, game week 2, transferred him in. Because it was just like, oh, we made a huge mistake. And he was just donging every week, it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, problem. Yeah. All right, Arsenal problem.
Yep. John said, even though Mo's going, should we dump Darwin now? The hat is clearly never coming.
I mean, I don't know what you look. It's frustrating when you have a player miss chances and shit. Yeah. And, you know, but I don't know what you're doing watching the games and watching this player and thinking this isn't just one of the best picks in the game, because all he does all the time he plays is create, shoot, everything. And look, if he was an average finisher, I'd be fucking beating off all day. He's very, very, very far away from being an average finisher at this point in his career. And he might never be one. And also, I will pay the price of admission to find out if it's 7.5. Like, he's not even expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was a 9 million pick, I would be saying something very differently. But he's 7.5, dude. Like, he's fucking 7.5. He's a pretty cheap pick. Who are you stacking him against? I mean,
it's like Dom.
Yeah. And Dom's better. And I have both of them. And that feels fine.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't think that
it's Dom, Jalve, and Ollie. That's his competition right now. There's not like another forward you're getting, really.
Well, like, I don't think Darwin to Jalve is particularly close, because every single time Darwin starts, he can score a hat trick. And none of the times that Jalve starts, he can score a hat trick. And I put a lot of weight in that. You know, I mean, this is a team that just creates incessantly. And even without Mo, I don't believe that that's going to stop. I just feel like Darwin's just fucking amazing. And
I mean, the thing is with the underlyings, right? Everyone knows, right? Incredible underlyings, similar to Haaland levels underlyings, right? But also just goals plus assists per 90. He's top 5 in the league. You know, like that, not no underlines, just his actual returns. He has 1,100 minutes. He has 11 returns. He gets a return every fucking game, basically.
Yeah, it's good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And I mean, if it actually pains you to watch the miss, don't watch their games. Don't watch Liverpool.
Easy. That's always been the life hack, is just don't fucking watch.
Well, depending on who the player is that we're in discussion. But I mean, he is that one, though, that you watch and it's just like, how are you fucking leaving this game with 5 points? Yeah. And he's just like, watch this. Challenge accepted.
Yep.
This is exactly how. Watch me miss everything.
Yep.
And that's what's up with Darwin.
You know? Can't wait for the next World Cup to have him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, in Uruguay. But, oh, I mean, there will be the games.
The Elsa Uruguay.
Yeah, where he doesn't just miss everything and he scores everything.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit. 18 point, 17 pointer. Nice. Love that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jeff with a good question here. How will you determine when to bring Haaland back into your team? And how do we determine who to sell him for? If both Haaland and Kev are getting minutes managed, is Jalve still fine? I think the interesting part is how do you think you're going to determine to get Haaland? And we obviously Pep's not going to be like, hey guys, he's fit for 90 and he's starting this week. That's never going to happen.
I mean, there's no way I'm getting him for Newcastle.
Yeah, I think there's basically no way I'll get him for that
week
either.
There's no scenario that that happens. So, yeah.
No, that's, ultimately, I mean, do they have a cup game? Let me see. They probably do.
Yeah,
they have Huddersfield. So the only scenario, let me interject. The only scenario I get him for Newcastle, if he starts, plays like 60 to 70 against Huddersfield and looks good.
Yeah, I still wouldn't do it. Because
then I'm like, okay, he's starting and playing 90 versus Newcastle.
Yeah, I still probably wouldn't do it. But
yeah.
But Burnley, like, gonna have him for Burnley for sure.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Basically, the plan. I think the answer to the question, Jeff, is like, it's the opposite, is how will you not get him for Burnley? And the only way is he picks up an injury or something, or he's not in the squad again for Newcastle, maybe something like that. That's that's what we're looking for. Otherwise, I think it's just like, get him for Burnley. And then how to determine who to sell him for? I don't know. He's better than every forward in the game.
I think Watkins is on my chopping block. I mean, I think he's more expensive than Dom and Darwin. I think he's just kind of worse. I mean, he does have these games. He's still
a really
good
pick, though, you know?
He's a good pick. But, I mean, since his enormous, ridiculous 23-pointer, he just, like, ticks along, kind of, that's fine. But he's just, I think it's just he's more expensive and I don't think he's worth it, honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And then Adman, last question, lifestyle question for you, dude. I mean, it's more for you than me, that's for sure. He said it's an FPL break. What are your favorite StarCraft units?
Oh my God.
Walsh said he hasn't smiled with his fucking teeth removed. He's got a smile on right now.
Smiling right now. No, it's too. That's too much. I can't go in there. It's too deep. It's too much. What are your favorite units? Like, that's a very personal question.
I don't know. Yeah, I did a whole podcast about StarCraft. It's not my field, really.
Yeah.
Walsh could talk to you for years on StarCraft.
I'm not gonna go down that alley right now. DM after hour and ten in. But I mean, I played Terran mostly. So, you know, I mean, it depends. Like, are you just, like, ghosting and trying to lock down shit and nuking? Or are you actually playing Zerg? You have to, like, do Marine shit. You know, I mean, it's a whole thing.
Nothing like a jacked up Marine against a Zerg rush. You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I mean, if you have your Marine medic, stim, couple fire baths.
Stim, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah.
You're destroying the Zergs. You're just destroying them.
The voice lines of the Terrans, I think, are my favorite also, though. Marines, the Firebats.
They're English language.
Yeah, they're so good.
StarCraft, best game.
Four new anus slaps. Really huge boost to us. Rare anus slaps. Also, look out for the cup soon. I think, you know, we're 2-3-ish game weeks away for the cup, so we'll get information going on that.
Cup soon.
New ass slaps. Jason H, Shane O'Sullivan, Charlie, Dion Bronier. I don't know how to say that. Slap the ass, baby. Get in there. All right, dude. Little break.
We'll see you
in like 10 days or some shit.
Yeah, I think we have a My Life on Thursday. 11th.
So 8 days. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
All right, bro. Any last words?
Good night, babe.
Night, babe. Check us out at fmlpl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlpl. Support us at patreon.com/fmlpl. Subscribe, rate, review, cheer.
Sports Social Podcast Network.